talk to you a little bit more about what I referred to last week, that whether we want to admit it, whether we like it or not, and it's not really popular to talk about, salvation is sacrifice. You know, there was a song that I had growing up, the hymns. We grew up with hymns, and there was a song that had in it was a line, Jesus paid it all. And sometimes people hold on to that line, Jesus paid it all. So it's a free gift, and it's mine, and I don't have to do anything. It's all by grace. The second part of that says, and all to him I owe. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. My contention isn't that salvation is a work. It isn't. For by grace are you saved, by faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. My salvation was not me. And I didn't do anything to earn it. I received the free gift that was given to me. But that doesn't take me off the hook of sacrifice. The Bible is clear that love involves sacrifice. Any love involves sacrifice. A parent's love involves sacrifice. Because you as a parent are giving of yourself to that child and that child's needs, and it's not always fun. It's not always a delight, but it's always love. So in the kingdom, to deny that there isn't sacrifice on the part of the believer, to believe that it's just all there and it's all, we just live this happy life and we keep saying, God, would you like, give me some more of this? I like this. Okay. And he just gives it to us because we have faith. And then we just go on and say, oh yeah, Lord, could I have a little dab? Like, you're not at a buffet. We're in a war. That's why if you go downstairs and take care of the kids, they might not walk up to you and say, thank you today for giving 45 minutes of your time and missing the sermon for me. They're not going to do that. But they need you. People need you. And you activate the power of the Holy Spirit when you learn to die to self. When you sacrifice. Maybe I should have a time now of just greeting one another. And if you say, I don't really want to hear this, you can just go out the back door. Because this isn't just something that I feel will make everybody happy. But I believe it's a missing concept to getting all that God has to offer us. Because it's such a bad thought. Why do I have to give more? Why do I have to go through something? Why has this happened to me? I'm taking you all the way back to Genesis 4. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor upon Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. The Old and New Testament, though, we understand there's a covenant, new covenant. We understand that salvation came through the cross. That doesn't negate that the Old Testament has specific teaching that underlies and even is a typology of later reality, so to speak. And here it is. Cain and Abel were the brothers. Both of them wanted to worship God. Cain would not have been downcast and upset if it was no big deal to him. He was sincere in wanting to worship God. But I believe that they were both given instruction on how that worship was to take place. I don't believe that God just said, do whatever you want, and then I'll correct who's wrong and who's right. I somehow, it's not there, but I believe that there's enough of an indication that there was a sacrifice that had to take place. Abel took a sacrifice. He took what he cared for in the livestock,
and he sacrificed it to the Lord. Cain took what he did in the fields and he offered it to God. God said, no, that's not what I want. Now, please realize that Cain was given opportunity to change. God said, why are you upset? Just do it right. But Cain chose to get angry. In the Bible, in different parts, as I read through it every year, there's a phrase that will jump out at me, and I was trying to find it this morning, and I just couldn't find it. It said that they did what was right in their own eyes. They did what was right in their own eyes. Salvation can't be that Jesus was sent to die. He died a brutal death in love. He overcame the grave and burst out of that grave and offered salvation to all who would believe. If it was that big of an event of a sacrifice, the only way. You say, well, why did God the Father require that kind of thing for salvation? No one ever knows. I mean, we have understanding to a point, but we really don't know why God used sacrifice as the main instrument of salvation. But he did. And Cain did not offer a sacrifice of blood. He offered the fruit of the land. So in that position, if God required his son to die as a sacrifice for sins, please, please, please do not allow your mind to accept, as long as a person is sincerely seeking after something, they're probably saved. Well, I've actually heard a Christian say, Allah, Jehovah, same thing. No. No. And don't tell me that you can believe in any other kind of God, but because God understands that you're really trying to believe in the God, that he'll let it slide. Why then send Jesus to die if everything works? There's one way. You say, well, then it doesn't seem fair. Well, first let me say to you, in Titus 2:11, from the King James, because that's what I grew up memorizing, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Meaning that while we are called to go and deliver that gospel so that they are given that opportunity, it's just a confidence that is there, that even in cultures and lands where there was no missionary, people got saved. The proof of that was that there were believers, missionaries, that actually went into lands and they confirmed to the tribe that they went to that Jesus was the way, because they said Jesus appeared to them out of nowhere. I don't know how that works. But I know that the Word of God says that salvation is a gift to everyone, but not always receives. So what happens is that people say, okay, I understand Jesus, but I believe this more. But I do believe in a God. And that's called doing what is right in your own eyes. That's what Cain did. He did what was right in his own eyes. He offered worship. It was worship. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, I'm busy Sunday. He offered worship to God, but not the right worship. And so God instructed him and said, Cain, don't do that. Listen to me. There's a right way. I'm offering it to you. And Cain said, no, I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. Oh, I'll worship you, but it'll be on my terms. That's where I think even believers fall short of the glory of God, because we just don't want to know what he really says. We're happy for the salvation, but if it doesn't seem to make sense to us, I'm not going to go there. I'm battling in my own life certain areas, and one of the areas is learning how to bless those that curse you. And not anyone in here, not a person in here. You're not cursing me. I'm talking about just outside the borders of this church. I'm talking about the guy who gives you that one finger wave. Oh, I want to bless him. Bless you. Yeah. May your accident happen faster than you think. No. It's not always easy to bless those that curse you. Right? But that's what Jesus said to do. And I can say, well, that's just not my temperament. You know what that is everyone, there's a phrase that this famous pastor one time said, you do what you want to do. So all Cain needed was to obey, but he chose not to. And instead he took the matter into his own hands. I want you to believe with all your heart, you learn to do it God's way, you get God's results. It will not always make sense to you. It won't feel good all the time. Too much is done in the name of feel good. And I've even heard good men, pastorally, say when they were asked, is Jesus the only way? And their answer was, well, to me it is. No, to anybody it is. That doesn't mean we throw them all in hell. Doesn't mean we look at them and say, see, you're worshiping false gods. We cry and we weep over them because they don't have the answer. People aren't saved because we tell them truth. People are saved because we love them into repentance. It says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. So all our marches in anger mean nothing. All our love can set the captive free. So we love them into the kingdom. That's why you bless those that curse you. That's why you go the second mile when asked to do it. That's why when someone strikes you on the cheek, you punch them in the head. No. That was the gospel according to Ken. You turn to the other side. Because in loving them, you're giving them a gift. They won't always receive. The people that go to New York, it's not like everybody runs up and says, oh, you're so wonderful, you're giving me this. They have their baggage. They have their issues. They have their own thoughts. Whatever you do for the kingdom, it's not that everybody just receives it. They didn't receive perfect love, Jesus Christ, right? They got mad at him all over the place. Perfect love. I don't have perfect love. He did. And they didn't like him. So you're not always going to feel good when you sacrifice. But the other side of that is, when you don't, Father God said, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to master you. I don't call all the addictions and things anything. I don't know how to call addictions. And I know people that are tormented by addictions. Tormented. And the only thing I can believe and pray is God is greater than the addiction. Amen. Amen. It's greater. I don't understand it. I don't understand the chemical aspects. I really don't. I used to just be flippant about it and say, you know, God, you. But yet I do believe that there are people, like there are things that you struggle with that somebody else doesn't struggle with. And I mean, it's a struggle for you, and you're not weak because you struggle. They struggle in another area. We all have our weaknesses. But I believe that sin is crouching at my door. And when I don't learn how to worship him in spirit and in truth, I give opportunity for those things to be further ingrained in me. I'm not judging anybody. I'm believing that God wants to start setting things free. That movie about the Holy Spirit is just, it's talking about seeing people in freedom. We've got to get beyond this where it's just, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do for you. I don't know how to pray. Without just going into some mindless confession, realizing that where we are and what we need to do is a product of even our sacrifice back to him in love. It's a sacrifice of love back to the Father. Find out what he wants, not what makes you feel good. Because Cain felt good giving his produce. But the Lord wasn't asking for produce. Are we wanting what he wants? When you do, you find peace. Even if it hurts in the struggle, you find peace. That's what we all need. What happens when you do what's right in your own eyes? Exodus 32, 3 to 6. I'll give you the quick account of a story. Exodus 32, 3 to 6. So all the people, you know the story. All the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him, and that he made it into an idol. Cast the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. I'll just stop there. Aaron was dealing with an unruly people of hundreds of thousands. And they were mad. And they said, we're just tired of this. We're tired of our situation. We want something else. And Aaron said, "Well, give me all your gold." And they gave it. I'm not speaking on financial giving as a sacrifice. I will one day. But I just want to tell you something about that. You do give your money somewhere. I don't hear people going to a Steeler game and saying, they want money for food here. I just paid $400 for this seat, and they're actually asking me for food. They don't go, you know? You don't want it, you don't go. No one gripes about anything else. They talk about how great the movie is. They don't say, "I just spent $12. Maybe you do. But overall, you do what you want to do. You spend where you want to spend it. But I hear outside of this church, a lot of people say, "Oh, boy, the church, they want my money. What do they want my money for?" They're missing the point. But when you do what's right in your own eyes, you have no problem spending that, but you have a real problem giving to this. When you do it in your own eyes. This is a sacrifice. But yet God promised. He didn't say, "Go to the Steeler games and you will be blessed forever." Maybe the Packers, I don't know. But he did say, "When you offer that to me, I will rebuke the devourer." The devourer is the one crouching at the door, by the way. So Aaron didn't know what to do, so he asked for their gold, and they gave it to him. Yeah. They gave him their gold. He fashioned the calf, and they then immediately said, this is the God that took us out of Egypt. And Aaron went, "Oh no, I did something wrong. They're giving credit to this idol, this golden calf that they just gave money to." So he quickly said, no, we'll put it in front of the altar and we'll bless God for giving us the golden calf. And that's how he did it. It led to false worship because soon they worshiped creation instead of creator. When you put something in front of God and say, "Well, I do love God, and I'm thankful that he gave me the gold," then the gold is what you're worshiping. When it's just all about him as a sacrifice of praise, whether you get the gold or not, he's still worthy of my praise. I'll give you another example. 1 Kings 12:28. I'm going to go move faster here. After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Now, he took it a step further. See, when you do convenient worship, when you do it your way, what's right in your own eyes, it progresses. It just doesn't stop here. It goes down the line. So now they not only use the golden calves idea that was used back in the days of Aaron and Moses, they took those golden calves and he put them in Jerusalem. And he said, away from Jerusalem, what he did is he set up two different cities. I'm going to move it along here instead of just reading it all. He set up two different cities that had to make a convenient worship so that they didn't have to travel all the way there. They could stay where they were and worship the golden calves there. That just weakened and makes worship convenient. And here's the point. I grew up in a legalistic world. I grew up that if you didn't go to church every Sunday morning, we started at 9 in the morning with Sunday school. We left at noon after a long time. And then we come right back at 6 o'clock for youth group. And 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, then church from 7 again to 9. And then Wednesday nights, we had prayer meeting, and that started at 7:30, and it went to 9. And I had to listen to 3 sermons that I had no idea what he was talking about. Every week. Don't you feel bad for me? Every week. And if you didn't go, you're in trouble. And I just got to see my mom in a nursing home, and we had just a wonderful time. She grabbed my hand, and she prayed a blessing over me. I didn't even ask her. I talked to you last week about my dad giving me a blessing. My mom prayed a blessing over me, and I didn't even ask, and it was just such a wonderful time. But she's 95 years old. But when she was young and I was young, she didn't care if I was sick. I'm going to church. Now, the point was, I was hardly ever sick, but I thought I faked it really well. But I still had to go to church. I said, my stomach hurts. That's all right. We're going to church. I go to church every week. And it felt so legalistic to me. And I'm not here trying to say every time this door opens, you should be here. But I will say this. If you make worship so convenient, you'll stop doing it. You really will. When people say to me, I can have church in my house. Yeah, you can, but what'd you do? Well, I watched Charles Stanley. Good. That's not a sacrifice. That's a good idea. He's a great teacher. This is a sacrifice. This won't always be convenient. And I'm preaching to people that are here. Are we doing Facebook Live today? forgive me. What I'm saying to you is, there's those times that you're just not going to feel like it. And something inside it says, do it anyway, and the blessing will be there. I'm sure all of you have had that one time or another where it's just like, I don't really want to go today. And you get there and went, oh, boy, am I glad I came. It's a sacrifice. It's 10 in the morning. Millennials hate 10 in the morning. I'm up at 5:30. I know, I'm old, right? But people say, could you like start at 11? 11, I'm ready for lunch. 11? It is a sacrifice. And we shouldn't make everything so convenient that we dilute it. It's worth the cost to be together. I'm not going to give the rest of the sermon. You ask why? Because it would take another 30 minutes. Be happy. The Lord isn't wanting to hurt us. He's not wanting to make us miserable for his sake. You know, I went to the cross, suffer a little once in a while. That's how we think. If I have to go through it, why shouldn't you? That's not how he thinks. But neither does he say to us, it's just so easy and free. Do what you want and you're saved. And believe this, believe that. That's okay. It's not that simple. And every part of my life that I've sacrificed to the Lord, my attitudes, my money, my time, the 15 minutes that I'm asking you to give to the Lord every day that I asked last week, I said I won't ask you who's done it. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But for those that weren't here, I'm asking for our church that if God wants to do something in the fall, then certainly I want every ministry leader committed to prayer, 15 minutes a day, asking God, what does he want to do? But for all of us, giving him our time, you decide when that 15 minutes should be. And please don't try to do it. Well, I did 5 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and actually I did 6 tonight, so I'm 1 minute over, maybe tomorrow. There's no carryover minutes in the kingdom like that. If you give him that 15 minutes a day, a quality time. It's a sacrifice of love. Watch what happens. If he tells you to skip lunch and pray during that time, do it. See what happens. I don't need to tell you. He does. But sometimes the filter is hard to hear because we're so into ourselves. Not lunch. Oh, man, I can just smell that food. Are you kidding me? Why today would you ask me to give up lunch? They're serving. I was going to go to. It's not always about me or you. It's about him. And what you give up in that meal, what you give up with that time, God can richly show more of who he is. That's what I'm longing for you. That's what I'm praying for you. told you my mom grabbed my hands and prayed a blessing over me. There's no greater blessing than the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and grant you his peace. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Amen.